हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सहनाववतो सहनो भुनक्तो सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः. The 53rd verse we have seen last class. That is, in the 53rd verse onwards, Vidyaranya Swami is discussing Shravana Manana Nididhyasanam. So, Ittham Vakyaistadartha अनुसन्धानं श्रवणं भवेत् युक्त्या सम्भावितत्व अनुसन्धानं मननं तु तत्. So last class, literally I just the whole class I spoke only the meaning of the word anusandhanam. Anusandhanam is another word for dhyanam or upasanam. So first he says, what is Shravanam? Vakyehi, ittam vakyehi means through the Mahavakyams, tad artha anusandhanam. So focusing on the meaning of the Mahavakyams, unfoldment of the Mahavakyams, subject matter of the Mahavakyams, Mahavakya unfoldment, is what is Shravanam, which means even when you are doing listening, Shravanam is literally, it means listening. It's not simply hearing, it is listening. Listening means your attention is focused. Listening also is meditation, because in listening also, it is not a mere function of the power of the sense organ. Unless the attention of the mind backs up your sense organ, there cannot be the function of listening. If there's no listening, there cannot be understanding. Nothing can be registered. So registering the subject matter, registering the object of perception, registration of object of perception is possible only if the attention of the mind backs up the sense organ. Therefore, Shravanam is also what? Shravanam also, even though it is a listening, the will involved function, the will is involved there, you're listening, but still, there also, it is also a sort of dhyanam, also meditation. Why? Because your attention is backing your sense organ, carefully attentive, to listen, you are listening what is being said, and what is being said is what the artha, the unfoldment of the meaning of the Mahavakya. That's called what? Shravanam. And afterwards, having understood the content of the unfoldment of the Mahavakyam, how yuktya sambhavita anusandha sambhavitatva anusandhanam mananam. Then using the reasoning, logically reinforcing, logically resolving the doubts in what you have understood, reflecting upon what has been understood is called mananam. That is, so Shravanam and mananam. So first you listen, you understand, your knowledge is doubtful knowledge. When you started listening, there is ajnanam. Namaskar. When you started listening, there is ajnanam. But as you are listening, ajnanam is resolved. But then the knowledge takes place. Through shravanam, jnanam utpadyate. Knowledge does happen. But that jnanam is still doubtful knowledge. Because any queries, any doubts may shake your knowledge. For which you reflect upon what has been heard and understood and retained, then logically resolve the doubts. Thereby, the knowledge becomes doubt-free, clear knowledge. That happens only when through the mananam. After shravanam and mananam, what comes is nididhyasanam. So now, in the 54th verse onwards, now Vidyaranya Swami, the very very big verse, 54th verse onwards, is going to discuss the nididhyasanam, contemplation. And I told you already last class, nididhyasanam is a manasam karma. Manasa karma is a mental activity. Like concentration is also manasam karma. Saguna Brahma upasanam, the meditation is also manasam karma. Contemplation is also manasam karma. Manasam karma means what? Mental activity. So simply if mind is involved, the mental activity, can you call it dhyanam? No. Shastram says, if Bhagavan, it must be nirguna swarupamba, saguna swarupamba, dhyana visheha syat. If the object of meditation is Bhagavan, Ishwaraha or swarupam, then we call it dhyanam. If anything other than Ishwara, either Ishwara rupam or Ishwara swarupam must be the object of meditation, only then we call it a what now? Dhyanam upasam saguna brahma vishaya manasavyaparaha. Manasavyaparaha, the mental activity for which the object is sagunam brahma. Otherwise, it's not meditation. We don't call it meditation, only concentration. Some exercise you practice to improve or develop your concentration. We don't call it, we don't give that dhyanam status, meditation status. The technique has gone from India, from Vedic tradition, but people use it. But they, for them, dhyanam, there's no Bhagavan, there's no Ishvara, there's become something else. Anyway, so now we know very clearly for us, what has been the object of your listening. Subject matter of the Veda Anta Shastram, when you listen systematically, regularly, understand for length of time, thereby Mahavakya Artha becomes very clear, that is the Shravanam. Otherwise, there's no Shravanam also. The Shravanam should culminate in what? You start listening to the unfoldment of the scriptures, the textbook. Vedantic treatise, Vedantic manual, Prakrana Grantha or Upanishad or Bhagavad Gita or Vedanta Shastra Sambandhi Grantha you start listening to. In due course of time, for length of time, systematically, regularly, continuously with a commitment, you listen. From a sampradaya with a teacher, then as a result, it should culminate in what finally? So many things you understand sequentially, systematically, step by step, and finally should culminate in the understanding of the unfoldment of the Mahavakyani, the Shravana. And having understood, then there is understanding what I am, what this universe is, what Jagat is. There is a Jiva Ishvara Aikyam, Jnanam is there. There is a Jagat Brahma Aikya Jnanam also is there, but still doubts may be there. Doubts will not go. That is why you resolve the doubts, possible doubts, you know, rise in your own mind or, you know, contributed generously by other friends and other people. You resolve them all, you know, logically understanding the teaching. It's called a mananam. Afterwards, nididhyasanam means you dwell constantly, continuously, effortlessly dwelling upon what has been clearly, doubtlessly understood. Is called what? Nididhyasanam, contemplation. So this nididhyasanam, swarupa anusandhanam is nididhyasanam. Why? Because we'll see that. So how he puts it, definitely nididhyasanam or contemplation is not for the attainment of knowledge. Shravanam is for the attainment of knowledge. So nididhyasanam is not for the clarification of doubts. It's not even for, nididhyasanam is only for, what is nididhyasanam for? It's not for knowledge. Shravanam takes care of knowledge. So mananam takes care of the resolution of the doubts. Nididhyasanam is not for knowledge. Attainment of knowledge is not even for resolving the doubts, not even for the reassurance or reinforcement of the knowledge. Nididhyasanam is what is it for? Nididhyasanam is mainly for attaining the jnana phalam. Nididhyasanam is for attaining the benefit of knowledge, which you have gained through the shravanam and mananam. You have doubt-free, clear knowledge you have gained through shravanam and mananam, which you must have done with the help of the teacher. And nididhyasanam is you are doing independently. And this is, it is not for gaining the knowledge. This is for the attainment of the benefit of knowledge. Not for the attainment of knowledge, attainment of the benefit of knowledge. Jnana phala praptyartham. Jnana phala anubhavartham. Nididhyasanam is recommended. So jnana phala praptihi means what? You attain the knowledge, you should be able to enjoy the benefit of knowledge. Sometimes after having done shravanam and mananam, still I am not able to enjoy the benefit of knowledge. When you say, why? What is the problem? Why you are not able to enjoy the benefit of the knowledge? What is that which is blocking? The blockage is not anywhere else, only in your antakaranam, in your mind. So the benefit of knowledge is prevented, enjoyment is prevented because blocked by what? No, blocked by the obstacle, some pratibandha. And what is the obstacle? What is the pratibandha which is blocking, which is preventing you from enjoying the benefit? Is the obstacle in the mind? In what form? Nowhere is the obstacle. It is sitting in our own mind. That obstacle, that pratibandha, okay, obtaining in the mind, preventing you, blocking you from enjoying the benefit of knowledge is in the form of lack of preparedness. If without the preparedness, how can jnanam take place? Because you've done shravanam, effort has been involved, which means shamadama uparama titiksha, all those things, no, still something is problem. Not only that, which means that that is in the form of your habitual errors. So before jnanam, you have the erroneous perception caused by ignorance. Adhyasa, what? Because of the adhyasa was because of the ajnanam. Now ajnanam is not there, but still now the problem is because caused by what? Your habits. Habit caused error is there still. And the habit is age-old habit that has to be, habit has to change. Changing the habit, old habit, is what now, what is required. And I'm sure you'll all remember Swamiji's laddu example, which I will not talk to you about again. Okay, anyway. Therefore, so that's why this resolution of this error caused by habit, the habitual errors, you know, for which we need nididhyasanam. And this nididhyasanam is done in many, many ways, repeated. In fact, one of the best ways Nidhi has got repeatedly listening to the teaching. Paunapunyena Shravanam also becomes Nididhyasanam. Repeated listening also, is good. For repeatedly dwelling upon the teaching, which is Nididhyasanam, okay? Then, suppose if sometimes some pratibandha is very strong, sometimes the mental preparedness without which knowledge also is not possible. That is why they say sadhana chatushtaya sampattihi. Why do they talk about in the very beginning? Why do they say you need nitya nitya vastu vivekaha, then purushartha nischayaha, mukshutvam, then vairagyam, shamaha, damaha, uparamaha, titikshaksa. Why do they say that again and again? It's not for shravana jnanam. Without those qualifications also, you happen to have some shraddha is there, you sit and listen in the class, you are not dead. Definitely Bhagavan has blessed all of us with some nice sharp intellect. You can grasp. Okay, for listening to the subject matter of the Shastram, even if you are not qualified, you can listen, you can understand the teaching. So qualifications are required for what? For assimilation, for ascertainment, for not forgetting, for knowledge to become unforgotten, ever remembered knowledge. What you need is this fourfold qualifications. For Shravana Jnanam, without the qualifications also, you're taking care of qualifications, you are listening, you're okay. But when Shamaha is very important for the assimilation of the teaching, assentiment of the teaching, to have the teaching ever remembered, to have it ever remembered, you need this what? Shamaha, Damaha, Uparamaha must be there. Shamaha, Damaha definitely must be there. Otherwise, there will be a big obstacle. There's no Shamaha. There's no Damaha. What is Shamaha? Shamaha is another word for Shantihi. Shamaha is a masculine gender word and Shantihi is a feminine gender word. So, Damaha, Dantihi. Same. So here, relative peace and relative quietude must be there. Only then assimilation is possible. Still the disturbed, my understanding is there. I'm restless. I'm not pure enough to assimilate it. That is why, to be frank, sadhana chatushtaya sampattihi, which is emphasized in the very beginning of the study. Why? Because if you already have sampatti, you have the fourfold qualifications. Shravanam is enough. One day Yanima asked, is it possible for somebody to enjoy the benefit of knowledge, to attain the knowledge, just after Shravanam itself is enough? Shravanam itself is enough for you to enjoy the benefit of knowledge if you already have sadhana chatushtaya sampatti. So without being qualified for jnanam and taking care of the qualifications simultaneously, when you try to listen, jnanam does take place, but you do not enjoy the benefit of jnanam. And not only there will be the doubts also the problem, therefore you have to mananam also. Again, that is why Chala Chatushtaya Sampatti is emphasized. Why? Because Nididhyasanam itself is required because to take care of the problems caused by lack of preparedness on the part of the mind. Okay. Therefore we say, and that it's not the habitual error alone. Habitual error is caused by what? Because of the lack of shamaha, damaha, etc. Anyway, so this absolute peace, absolute shantihi, is when there is ascertained vision after nididhyasanam, when sthira jnanam, sthita prajna, then what is there is absolute peace. So, knowledge is absolute peace. So, what you need for this knowledge, which is absolute peace, you need the relative peace. And that is, that how do you get shantihi, shamaha, only by living a life of dharma. So, dharma is, has to be followed strictly for which, for relative shanti. And jnanam will bless you with absolute shanti. Isn't it? So, apekshika shanti, nitya nirantara shanti. Where is it now? Dharma and jnanam. Minus dharma, minus jnanam, ashanti. There's no shanti at all. Where there's no shanti, shantamuleka saukhyamule. There's no saukhyam also. There's no happiness also. So, that is made very clear. Anyway, therefore, what it is said here, for nididhyasanam, the object of meditation is param brahma swarupam, atma swarupam, we can say swaswarupam, one's own swarupam. Why? Because you arrive at the brahma, brahma swarupam, arrive at the atma swarupam as what? As one's own swarupam. A swarupam of the very I, the knower. And therefore, is it important to sit in a posture and all that? Physical posture, is it important? Really speaking, for nididhyasanam, even though in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, talks about the, you know, shuchau deshe pratishtapya stiramasanam atmanaha, no, natyuchitam nati neecham chailajina kushottaram, etc., where one should sit and meditate. How one should and meditate? Samam kaya shiro grivam dharayanna chalam sthiraha. One head and neck and back must be in straight line. One should sit in a clean place. You should be too high and too low, etc. This is all recommended. This is all for now, you know, for formal meditation. This is all recommended. So as a discipline, to be frank, for nididhyasanam, physical posture, the position is not at all important. Condition of the mind is important and the object of dwelling is very important. Swaswarupam must have been become very, very clear. Without having the swarupam, without having what the swarupam is, without being very clear about the swarupam, one's own real nature or nature of the reality, therefore, then if you, whatever you do, that doesn't become nididhyasana. So, what is the object of your thought? And that must be very, very clear. Therefore, in for nididhyasana, you can be walking, you can be sitting, you can be, you know, doing anything, but mind must be dwelling upon the swarupam. The position is not important, posture is not important in nididhyasana. In fact, nididhyasanam, when you practice, you are not doing meditation, you are in meditation. This also made very clear. Anyway, with all these things background, let us go to the this verse here. Here Vidyaranya Swami, let us read it. Tabhyam nirvichikitsethe, tabhyam nirvichikitsethe, tabhyam nirvichikitsethe, chetasasthapitasyayat, chetasasthapitasyayat, ekatanatvametaddhi, ekatanatvametaddhi nididhyasanamuchyate, nididhyasanamuchyate. Okay. So what is Nidhyasanam? It is said here. Nididhyasanam iti uchyate. Iti I'm adding, okay? This is what is known as Nididhyasanam. This is what is said to be Nididhyasanam. This is what is known as contemplation. So here, Vidyaranya Swami definitely also makes it very clear. It is not the physical posture. It is not how and what position your sense organs are. It is not even the propriety of your breathing. And okay. So we are not talking about all those things. Generally, in meditation, all these are dealt with. So here, in Vedantic meditation, Swarupa Anusandhanam is Vedantic meditation, which is contemplation. So here, Vidyaranya Swami also follows the Yoga Shastra method. Even though Vedanti does not accept the yoga philosophy, but yoga, that Abhyasa, Vedanti accepts. Abhyasa alone is accepted. Yoga Abhyasa, Ashtanga Yoga Abhyasa is accepted as a discipline. But yoga philosophy is not accepted by a Vedanti. Yoga Darshanam is not accepted, but Yoga Abhyasa is accepted. So, he also follows the yoga, what is said in the, what is Dhyanam, what is Dhyanam according to Yoga Shastram. The definition alone he follows. It does not talk about the object of meditation. Okay? Definition of meditation he follows. Before we go there. Generally, Yoga Shastram deals with many things. Look at this here. Tabhyam here means kabhyam, tabhyam, through them. Tabhyam means through them, through both shravana mananabhyam. Tabhyam means what? Shravana mananabhyam, through shravanam and mananam. What happens? Jnanam siddhyati. Through shravanam and mananam, knowledge does happen. What knowledge? Through shravanam, jnanam jayate. Through mananam, mananena, shravanena, mananena, or shravanat, mananat, jnanam jayate. Now, samshaya rahita jnanam jayate. Through shravanam and mananam, shravana mananabhyam, through them, what happens? Samshaya rahita, doubt-free knowledge takes place. He says, what? That's why, nirvichikitse arte. Vichikitsa means doubt, samshayaha, sandehaha. Vichikitsa is another word for samshayaha. Vichikitsa. See, without V, the word chikitsa means treatment. Chikitsa means treatment. In Tamil, people who hate Sanskritam also, they say sigichai. Okay? Chikitsa is a Sanskrit word. Sigichai is a Tamil word. Where has it come from? Sanskritat only. Anyway, they may not accept it. Chikitsa means treatment, curing. Vi, if we add, becomes a doubt. Vichikitsa means what? Doubt. Samshayaha. Sandehaha. So, vichikitsita. Now, vichikitsa, vichikits, ವಿಚಿಕಿತ್ಸಹ ಅರ್ಥ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಡೌಟ್ಫುಲ್ ನಾಲೆಡ್ಜ್. ನಿರ್ವಿಚಿಕಿತ್ಸಹ ಅರ್ಥ ಡೌಟ್ ಫ್ರೀ ನಾಲೆಡ್ಜ್. ನಿರ್ವಿಚಿಕಿತ್ಸಹ ಅರ್ಥ ಅರ್ಥ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಜ್ಞಾನಂ. ನಿರ್ವಿಚಿಕಿತ್ಸಹ ಅರ್ಥ ಡೌಟ್ ಫ್ರೀ ನಾಲೆಡ್ಜ್. ನಿರ್ ಇವ ಡೌಟ್ ಫ್ರೀ. ನಿರ್ವಿಚಿಕಿತ್ಸಹ ಅರ್ಥ ಡೌಟ್ ಫ್ರೀ ನಾಲೆಡ್ಜ್ ಒನ್ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಗೇನ್ಡ್ ಥ್ರೂ ಶ್ರವಣಂ ಅಂಡ್ ಮನನಂ. ತಾಭ್ಯಾಂ ಶ್ರವಣ ಮನನಾಭ್ಯಾಂ ನಿರ್ವಿಚಿಕಿತ್ಸಹ ಅರ್ಥ ಜಾಯತೆ. ಸೊ ಡೌಟ್ ಫ್ರೀ ನಾಲೆಡ್ಜ್ ರೈಸಸ್. ಓಕೆ, ಇನ್ ದಟ್ ಡೌಟ್ ಫ್ರೀ ವಿಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ಒನ್ಸ್ ಓನ್ ಸ್ವರೂಪಂ. ಸೊ ಡೌಟ್ ಫ್ರೀ ವಿಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ಒನ್ಸ್ ಓನ್ ಸ್ವರೂಪಂ ಆರ್ ಒನ್ಸ್ ಓನ್ ರಿಯಾಲಿಟಿ, ಅದು ನೇಚರ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ರಿಯಾಲಿಟಿ ವಿಚ್ ಒನ್ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಗೈನ್ಡ್ ಥ್ರೂ ಶ್ರವಣಂ ಅಂಡ್ ಮನನಂ ದೇರ್ ಸ್ಥಾಪಿತಸ್ಯ ಚೇತಸಃ. ಸ್ಥಾಪಿತಸ್ಯ ಚೇತಸಃ. ನೌ ವೆನ್ ದಿ ಮೈಂಡ್ ಅಟೆನ್ಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಮೈಂಡ್ ಈಸ್ ಫೋಕಸ್ಡ್ ಆನ್ ದಿ ಡೌಟ್ ಫ್ರೀ ಕ್ಲಿಯರ್ ವಿಷನ್ ಸಬ್ಜೆಕ್ಟ್ ಮ್ಯಾಟರ್. ಓಕೆ, ಡೌಟ್ ಫ್ರೀ ಸಬ್ಜೆಕ್ಟ್ ಮ್ಯಾಟರ್ attained knowledge attained through shravanam and mananam. Then what happened? Now you are very clear, aham brahma asmi, the jnanam is very clear. How has it become now? Nirvichikitsah artah. What is nirvichikitsah artah? Doubt free clear vision, aham brahma asmi, which means aham is not anymore with the physical body, aham is not anymore with the sense organs or pranas. Aham has been shifted. You understand aham pratyaya, aham as a cognition and which does not exist outside of consciousness. No cognition exists outside of consciousness. Aham also is a cognition. Okay, self cognition which does not exist outside of consciousness. Your what is the swarupa of aham? Truth of I. Consciousness only. And that consciousness is already understood what now? How consciousness is the existence and how consciousness is of the nature of limitlessness, how time-wise limitless, how spatially limitless, how object-wise limitless, how it is ananta shabdartha, how it is the sat shabdartha, how sati is chit, etc. You understood very clearly. Therefore, you see the oneness, secondlessness, non-duality, of the consciousness being the only reality. The way what you see, that consciousness which is implied by the term of Brahma is what? Aham Shabda Artha. Aham Chaitanyam Brahma Asmi. Aham Brahma Asmi. That jnanam is clear. Because how has become very clear? Through Shravanam and through Mananam. Tabhyam. Tabhyam. Through Shravanam and Mananam, you have Nirvichikitsaha Artha Aham Brahma Asmi Iti Jnanam Nirvichikitsam Jnanam. Okay, you have. And there, that Jnanam Chetasi. Now you are placing your attention. Sthapitasya Chetasaha. The mind, attention of the mind which has been placed in that doubt-free vision of one's own swarupam being Brahma. Then you are repeatedly dwelling upon it. One mechanically say, repeatedly dwelling upon it. And here, it's called what now? Ekatanatvam. Ekatanatvam. ಏಕತಾನತ್ವಂ. ಏಕಂ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಸಿಂಗಲ್, ಒನ್. ತಾನಂ ಅರ್ಥಾನಹ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಥ್ರೆಡ್. ತಾನಹ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಥ್ರೆಡ್, ಯುನೋ. ತಂತುಹು ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಥ್ರೆಡ್. ತಾನಹ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಥ್ರೆಡ್, ಯಾನ್, ಇಸ್ ಇಟ್ ಥ್ರೆಡ್. So, ekatanaha means one single unbroken thread. one line. Okay, one single unbroken thread is what? Ekatanaha. Okay. So, here Ekatanaha, you want to know? So, also, the thought flow which resembles, the thought flow which resembles the unbroken flow of thoughts, like the one unbroken single thread, it's called, what now is said to be ekatanatvam, having, noun form that is, ekatanatvam means having the continuous, constant, unbroken flow of thoughts like one unbroken single thread. It's called what? Ekatanatvam. Okay? Ekatanatvam. So here, when you say, so maintaining that there's a flow of thoughts and we are maintaining every thought now has the same object. So maintenance of the constant continuous flow of thoughts and each thought having the same object. One thought chair, another thought computer, another thought is what? Thought having the television, another thought something else. No, not different objects. You maintain the flow of thoughts and the object of thought must be flow of thought, which is one and the same object. Therefore, and this is entertaining the thoughts of same object. Thoughts keep flowing, but the object of thought is one and the same. It is Swaswarupam, isn't it? It's called what? Sajatiya Vritti Pravahaha. Sajatiya Vritti Pravahaha. Pravahaha means flow. Vritti Pravahaha means flow of thoughts. And the flow of thoughts with the same object. Flow of thoughts with one and the same object of thought are called what? Similar thoughts. So the constant continuous flow of similar thoughts of same object is called Sajatiya Vritti Pravaha. Or you can say Sajatiya Pratyaya Pravahaha or Sajatiya Vritti Pravahaha. In English language, Sanskrit language, we use the word Pratyayaha or Vrittihi to mean the thought. So here, every thought, the object of every thought is what? It need not be only Aham Brahmasmi alone. It can be Aham anything pertaining to the Swarupam of the reality. Suppose you take Aham Brahma. Then you see how it is Shuddha, Aham Shuddha or Aham Nityaha. It can be the purity of consciousness, the attention of the mind can be focused on the purity, how consciousness is of the nature of purity, how it is untaintedness, is the Swarupam, how it is Nityaha, Aham Nityaha, how you analyze it, how Chaitanyam is Nityaha. How it is beginningless, how it is endless, how it is changeless, how it is like that can be anything. That's why swaswaswaswarupa anusandhanam. That's why only one word is very beautiful. Swaswarupa anusandhanam. As you already, that's why shavanam must have been done already. Marana must have been done already. Swarupa must be very clear. Only then dwelling up constantly, continuously dwelling upon one's own swarupam is possible. So here we say, this now there is a constant, continuous flow of thoughts, unbroken flow of thoughts, like having those unbroken, maintaining the unbroken flow of thoughts is called Ekatanatvam. But again, the object of thought is what? One and the same object, Vastu, so Swarupam. Therefore, all the thoughts are what? Similar thoughts. Is called what? Sajatiya Pratyaya Pravahaha. And then you do not think of anything else. And you have to remember this. You do not think of anything else. No other object comes and interrupts or disturbs you. And here, so without attention being not focused on anything else, dwell upon one's own swarupam, we called what now? Vijatiya Anantarita. Vijatiya Anantarita means to the exclusion of anything else. Vijatiya Anantarita. Sajatiya Pratyaya Pravahaha. Vijatiya Anantarita. Sajatiya Pratyaya Pravahaha. So constant, continuous flow of similar thoughts of one and one only Vastu, Swarup only Vastu, to the exclusion of dissimilar thoughts involved in other objects, or unobstructed by the dissimilar thoughts. This flow of thoughts is to the exclusion of dissimilar thoughts or unobstructed by dissimilar thoughts. This is called what? Ekatanatvam. When a person follows this process, following this process of maintaining the constant, continuous flow of similar thoughts of Brahma Swarupam, unobstructed by the flow of dissimilar thoughts or the exclusion of dissimilar thoughts, is called Nididhyasanam. Is it clear? Okay. In fact, in Yoga Sutram, Yoga Sutras deal with Ashtangaha, is it? Eightfold limbs. There is one particular sutra. Tatra Ekatanata Dhyanam. This is a Tatra Ekatanata Dhyanam. Is a Yoga Sutra. And Ashtanga Yoga, in Ashtanga Yoga, Patanjali Rishi has given this definition. What is Dhyanam? Tatra Ekatanata Dhyanam. Tatra Ekatanata Dhyanam. This is Patanjali Rishi's definition of Dhyanam. Tatra Ekatanata Dhyanam is a sutra, Yoga Sutra, which talks about it, which presents the definition of meditation. And what happened there? Vidyaranya Swami has taken that Yoga Sutram and he uses the same Sutram here. What he's done, Tatra, for that word Tatra, he uses the term Arthe. The word Tatra is taken in the sense of Arthe. Okay, Arthe. Vichikitse Arthe. Nirvichikitse, Nirvichikitsaha Artha is meant by the word Tatra. Then, Ekatanata is a feminine gender word. And he has used what now? Ekatanatvam. Okay. And the word Chetasaha, literally it means what? Chetas. See, the word Arthe is used in the sense of Tatra, found in the Sutra, Yoga Sutra. And Ekatanata is used here, here as Ekatanatvam. So I just want to say Vidyaranya Swami is using the Patanjali Maharshi's definition of meditation. Only the technique alone is taken, not the object of meditation. Adishankara Bhagavatpada does this. In Vedanta, it's very much used. This way, we have great respect for everything, but we also know the limitation of everything. What we take is a technique can be taken. So, Tatra Ekatanata Dhyanam is the there's a definition. So, he says, Tatra Nirvichikitse Arthe Ekatanatvam Dhyanam, Nidhyasanam, he says. Okay. And the word Chetasaha, the word Chetas literally means Antahkaranam, the mind as a whole. But in this context, we should take it as Pratyayaha, a thought. Which means there's a maintenance, entertainment of thoughts, and for each thought, Swarupam is what? Object of thought is Brahma. First thought, second thought, third thought, fourth thought, fifth thought, every thought deals with Swarupam, Atma Swarupam, Swaswarupam. So maintaining in this way the thought flow, one the same vastu is called sajatiya pratyaya pravaha, and because no other object is focused on it, is vijatiya pratyaya anantarita. Anantarita means what? To the exclusion of the other thoughts, dissimilar thoughts, or unobstructed by the dissimilar thoughts. You have the obstruction-free, constant, continuous flow of similar thoughts dealing with Swaswarupam, Brahma Swarupam, Atma Swarupam is called what? Like the unbroken, single, straight thread in straight line. It's called what? Nididhyasanam. Nididhyasanam uchyate. Okay. Now what will happen when you practice Nididhyasanam? So now in this 54th verse, he beautifully defined the Nididhyasanam. Any doubt here in this verse, we have marked it. I'll talk to you later after when you finish the class. It must be very clear now. So Tabhyam Nirvichikitse Arthe Yat Chetasaha Stapitasya Yat Yekatanatvam Yetadhi. This is what is called Nididhyasanam. Yetadhi Nididhyasanam Uchyate. So he beautifully defines Nididhyasanam. Okay. What happens, the result of meditation, the result of contemplation, that is discussed in the next verse. Dhyatru dhyane parityajya. Dhyatru dhyane parityajya. Dhyatru dhyane parityajya. Dhyane parityajya. Kramad kramad dheyaka gocharam. Kramad dheyaka gocharam. Dhyatru dhyane parityajya. Dhyatru dhyane parityajya. Kramad kramad dheyaka gocharam. Dheyaka gocharam. Nivata nivata deepavat chittam. Deepavat chittam. Nivata deepavat chittam. Nivata nivata deepavat chittam. Vachittam samadhirabhidhiyate. Samadhirabhidhiyate. So samadhi is the phalam of dhyanam. Samadhi is phalam of dhyanam. But even samadhi, what is a samadhi for an Advaita Vedanti who is dwelling upon one's own swarupam as Brahma or Atma Swarupam? Atma Swarupa Dhyatuhu Samadhi Ka. What is samadhi according to Vedanti? That is explained beautifully in the next 55th verse. So Nididhyasanam, Nididhyasana Phalam is samadhi, that is discussed in the next, in this verse. See, Vedanta Shastram makes one thing very, very clear. You need not work very, very, very hard to have the experience of samadhi. You know, samadhi is a very, very common thing which happens, which we experience in day-to-day life. Is a very natural process. Samadhi is a natural process. Why do you say samadhi is a natural process? It is a samadhi, it's a psychological phenomenon, and which is a very natural process. And how do we say? It is not I am saying. Yoga Shastram has analyzed it very, very beautifully. Analyzed this samadhi. Because it is just absorption. Samadhi means absorption. How do we say it is a natural process? So, because people, when they talk about samadhi, they think it is some mysterious experience, a mystic thing, is something we had to work very hard. But Yoga Shastra's, according to analysis of the Yoga Shastram, is samadhi is there in day-to-day life, you're experiencing it. Because it is a very naturally happening thing, and it is a, if we like anything, even when you're watching television, it may be a stupid program for some people, but if you're watching television and if you like that program very much and you watch that program, suppose that gets cut off, the advertisements come and disturb your samadhi in between. When you're watching it, if your only thing is for absorption, what you need is you should like it. Because you cannot focus on something which you don't like. If you keep on seeing it, what happens? When you forget yourself, in Tamil we call it, you know, mei marandu podal. Mei marandu. Now, you forget yourself and you forget the process of your watching also. The object which is watched alone exists, means that's called what? You're remaining absorbed. The process of watching is forgotten. The one you forget yourself, and then what is there is, what is being watched alone exists. Do you need a big tapas for this? No. What is, where attention is focused, that must be an object of your interest. You must like it. Finish. And then keep on focus. You enjoy it. Pay attention, enjoy it. You forget yourself. You forget the process also. Process of watching. And only the object of watching alone is there. It's called samadhi. Okay? In day-to-day life, every day you have samadhi. Absorption. I can tell you one more thing. See, what happens? When you are thinking, generally, when in the general thought process, when it happens, in any general normal thought process, there are two factors involved. In thinking, there are two factors involved. One is what? One is the thought, the cognition obtaining in the form of a thought, then object of cognition, object of thought. Cognition of a thought, then object of thought. The two factors are involved in a normal thought process. So we can say thought, the cognition obtained from a thought, we can call it what? Pramanam. The thought is the pramanam. And object of thought is what? The prameyam. Okay? The object is prameyam. Thought is pramanam. So the pramanam is not the prameyam. Pramanam is not the prameyam. See here, the mechanism of samadhi Now, what is this natural process called samadhi is analyzed. I'm not analyzing, I'm only reproducing how Yoga Shastram analyzes it. There are two factors involved. One is the thought and the object of thought. So the thought is instrument of knowledge, pramanam, and object is prameyam. Pramanam, prameyam. So definitely what is very clear for you, pramanam is not prameyam. Instrument of knowledge is not the object of knowledge. And object of knowledge is not the instrument of knowledge. Pramanam and prameyam are two different things, very clear. You don't take one thing for the other. Suppose if you say, there is light. What does it mean? There's a thought and object called light, isn't it? There's a thought which is internal. Thought is internal. And then there's a light outside. Thought inside, outside the light. Suppose it's a tree. The tree, the thought internal, you say there's a tree, the thought internal, which is internal, and the object thought is external. The tree is what? Object tree is outside, and the thought is inside. So pramanam is inside. Pramanam obtaining in the form of a thought is inside. The object of thought is outside, external. So, when the thoughts entertained in the mind deal with the external worldly objects, and the thoughts deal with external objective, objects of external universe, then the distinction between thought and the object is very clear. Difference, distinction between the thought, the pramanam, and object, the prameyam, is very clear. Cognition and object of cognition, distinction is very clear. Thought, the pramanam, and the object of pramanam, prameyam, very distinct, very clear. Isn't it? Cognition pertaining to bus, in vehicle. Thought is internal, cognition is inside. Thought, cognition obtaining in the form of a thought is pramanam, which is internal, inside. The object, vehicle, the prameyam is outside. So we don't mistake one for the other. Distinction between pramanam, the cognition, the thought, and prameyam, the external object, is very clear. When the thoughts deal with external objects which are external to the physical body. Okay. External to the mind, we can say. Okay. Now, what happens in dream? Suppose you are, now we all had, now Chaitra Purnima Puja and the Prasadam was there. I always like food, okay? So let us take that. All Prasadam all was there, lots of Prasadams. And you ate the Prasadam. Afterwards, sitting in the bed, everything is over. You have gone to bed. And before going to the bed, you compare this Prasadam with the previous, some other recently gone other Prasadam, a temple Prasadam. And you all think of the person, your friends, who is no more, who passed away, who liked the prasadam very much. Last Chaitra Purnima, I had a Chandi Pataha. I had a lot of prasadam. This person came. He enjoyed this payasam, enjoyed this laddu, enjoyed this poli, everything. And this year he is not there. You are thinking. And you are thinking of that person whom you know very well. What happened? You think of the person and you fall asleep. You repeatedly think about the person. So much you are thinking about the person. So repeatedly, really deeply you are thinking of the person. And in sleep, after you fall asleep, you have a dream. And that person comes in your dream. When the person comes in your dream, the person comes, sits, and you talk to the person, you entertain, you engage, you interact with the person. And what happens in dream? In dream, you do not know you are dreaming. There's no knowledge. The dreamer, the one who is dreaming, is lying down the bed. Okay? And the dream, where is the object now? Who is the object of thought? The person who is not at all there anymore. All the objects, the prasadam, the person, the interaction, you're talking. That person whom you're interacting in dream, with him in dream, does not physically exist externally. Now tell me, what is that object? That object, the person, of object of thought, prameyam, is it outside the thought or is just the thought? You have to see here. Is it? Just the thought. Isn't it? The object is just the thought only. There's no real object. But it's an object of thought. So you forget the dreamer. You do not know you are dreaming. The dreamer is forgotten. Okay? The thought, the instrument of thought also, what are the process of dreaming is also not remembered. The process of being in the dream, the process of dreaming is also not remembered. The dreamer is not remembered. The process of dreaming is not remembered. The object of, isn't it? The object alone is real for you. The dream alone is very, very real for you. As long as you are in dream. The dreamer, the process of dreaming, both are forgotten. The dream object alone is real. You don't take that person whom you are dreaming as just a thought. Definitely don't. The person is not a thought for you. The person is very real for you. Which means you lose sight of the thought being the thought. What happens? You lose sight of the dreamer. You lose sight of the thought being the thought. The thought being the thought, the thoughtness is, you lose sight of the thoughtness of the thought. Therefore, When you lose sight of the thought being the thought, the difference between the thought and the object, what now? Also not there. The distinction is not possible. Distinction is not possible. Then what happens? You are just in the world of objects. You're not able to think. You are not able to think means what? You are not even able to think the time that you are in dream, you are dreaming, that person is only in your thought. No. So losing sight of the thought being thought, the object becomes so real for you. There's no distinction. Then what happens? The object alone exists. Very real for you. Object alone exists. And this is called what? Absorption. I want to give you an example. It's called absorption. In Tamil we say Tanmaya Mahudal. Aduvahave Ahudal. Ahudal. Yad Bhavaha Tadbhavati. Isn't it? You become that. Why? You do not even remember you are. You forget yourself. So, I can tell you one more thing. In meditation also, in the same way. So, hope you got it now. I gave the dream example to understand how when you are in dream, that one who is dreaming is completely forgotten. The process of dreaming is also forgotten. The dream object alone, which obtains only in our thought, becomes very real for you. You are not able to distinguish. You can see the distinction between, difference between the thought and the object in dream. In the same way, in meditation also, in contemplation meditation also, in meditation what happens? When you continuously focus attention on a given object of meditation, as a result of which, the very process of meditation, the dhyanam is forgotten. You lose sight of the process of meditation. Then you lose sight of your own self as the meditator. It means the meditator is also forgotten. Dhyata is forgotten. Dhyanam is also forgotten. Like what? Just as when you are in dream world, you never remember that you are dreaming or that you are the dreamer, and you do not remember the process of dreaming also. Even though comfortably there, lying down in the bed, the dream world is so real for you as long as you're in dream. So the same, in the dream process is also forgotten. So here, that's what we have to understand the same way. In meditation also, in this process of meditation is forgotten. The meditator is also forgotten. What happens? The object of meditation alone exists for you. Dhyata is forgotten. Dhyanam is also forgotten. Dheyam alone exists. Just as in dream, if you happen to see a thief, you know, chasing you, that time you are dreaming, the dreamer is forgotten, the process of dreaming is forgotten, which means what? The dream, the thief, the object of your, you know, the object called a thief, obtain a thought alone was so real for you. That is why what happens? It is very effective that you are so frightened. Why? Because it is very real for you. Just to make you understand how the object prameyam and the thought the pramanam, thought object of thought, distinction is possible in the waking, but it's not possible in dream. Why? Because there's no object other than the thought. Is it clear? Because you lose sight of the very thought being the thought there. Object is very real for you. In the same way, in dhyanam, in meditation also, in the long run, what happens? Slowly, your focus, attention, gradually, the meditator resolves. The process of meditation also withdrawn gradually. Then what happens? The object of meditation alone is there. When you yourself as a meditator are lost, the object becomes more real. The object becomes more real when you are in meditation. Why? Because the very meditator himself is lost. Not remembered. See, the very forgetting oneself, one's own self, being the meditator in the meditation, thereby forgetting the process of meditation, makes what now has greater impact. Which means what? The object of greater impact means the object of meditation becomes more real. To understand a little more better, I can tell you one more thing. See, there's a test for what is this, how powerful the thought is. How powerful the thought is. To know the powerfulness of the thought, let me take one 5 more minutes, huh? 5-10 minutes. I'll leave you. It seems once there was an experiment done. The people who are, and then they're late, you know, the retired people. Retired people who are in the 70s and some 70s and 80s, they were taken to one place, and in that story you can listen, sleeping on, you can listen. They're taken to one place, and in that place they were left with the things of very olden days, ancient times. Which means the things which were used when they were in their 20s and 30s. Imagine this is a small town, okay? They were all put in a place where they could watch only movies of 20, 30 years ago. They could read the newspapers of 30 years ago, the old newspapers, old pictures, old movies, and the old food. In the old country, even the atmosphere where they have to eat and all, like olden days things. Everything was old, okay? And they didn't have any access to anything new. whatever they had to do, they had to enjoy things which are available from 30 years ago. 30, 40 years ago. Why? 50 years ago, maybe. And what happened? Being in atmosphere for a few months, what happened? All of them seeing the old movies, eating the old food, being in the atmosphere where they had old things, all of them had grown much younger. The old people have gone much younger. No? Why? Because it reminded them, it invoked their 30 years ago what they were, 40 years ago what they were. They all became, the 80-year-old Tata became 30-year-old young man. The 70-year-old Pati became 25-year-old young woman. Which means, why? They were just being, objects were so real. They were left to enjoy the objects of their olden days, watching old movies, seeing old heroines and old heroes when they were young, being in the atmosphere for some time. What happened? They get grown younger means what? The 30, their young age was invoked. Which means those objects which they were enjoying before, they were interested in before, were so real for them before. Again, when they are left with the same old things, those things invoked them in what now? Those objects which were enjoying became very real for them. When they became very real, what happened? They forgot themselves. The enjoyer was forgotten. The process of, we were brought here for some experimentation only, we're only enjoying this. They forgot the process of their enjoyment. The enjoyer was forgotten. What they were enjoying became so real. Two important things. Enjoyer is forgotten. Therefore, old age is forgotten. The process of enjoyment also is forgotten. The enjoyed object became very real. So after this study, after this experiment of 2-3 months, then they were all taken, there's an examination was done. They studied their experiment. I tell you, all these old tatas, blood pressure became normal. And then no cholesterol, my God. Lots of things changed. Biochemical things all changed. They had grown younger, not older. Old have become young. Why? Not physically, mentally. Which means this is what is the power of the thought. For the thought to be powerful, what happens? When you lose yourself as an experiencer, enjoyer, you lose the very process of experiencing, enjoying. When the object of thought alone is, whenever the enjoyer is lost, the impact is greater. The object becomes more real. The mithya object becomes more real. Because the real knower is lost. What is real is lost. What is not real becomes more real. It is in meditation. And that is called what? Absorption. That's called samadhi. You only understanding samadhi, okay? I have not yet explained to you what is nirvikalpa samadhi. I have not yet gone. What is samadhi? For which you must continuously focus the attention and object of meditation. As a result, that's called meditation. As a result of which, you lose. Meditator is lost. Hello. The process of meditation is also forgotten. Mm-hmm. Then the object of meditation becomes real. you never think it's only, you know, projection of the thought. No, it becomes so real. Because you lose sight of the thought being the thought. The metabolism test really helped, showed that they sounded very healthy and all that. I'm not saying it's always some just to understudy the power of the thought. Anyway, so what I want to say here. So in the same way, in when you dwell upon the Svastha Swarupam also, in the long run, you lose yourself as a meditator. The object of meditation also, the process of meditating also is forgotten. The object of meditation alone remains. And when you meditate upon Brahma, Aham Brahma Asmi, Aham Brahma Asmi, Aham Shuddha Asmi, Aham Nityaha Asmi, Aham Chaitanyam Asmi, you meditate upon, here also, in the long run, what happens? The real you as a meditator are totally absorbed. And the Brahma, meditating upon the very Vastu, when you are totally in consonance with reality, because you are lost in reality, the process of meditation also is not there. Brahman alone is there, which means you, meditator, is in consonance with reality. It's called Nirvikalpaka Samadhi. Okay, that's what he says here. Dhyatru dhyane parityajya. Dhyatru dhyana parityagam is what? The meditator is forgotten. Dhyanam, the process of meditating, is also forgotten. Gradually, kramat. Kramat means what now? One by one. Then, dhyayaka gocharam. Dhyayaka, you know, the object of meditation alone is there. And then when the attention of the, when you, the meditator, are absorbed in meditation, you remain in absorption. When you are in consonance with the absolute reality, the consciousness, the Brahma, then what happens? Nivata Deepavata is a Bhagavad Gita expression. Just as the lamp, the flame of the lamp kept in a enclosed area where there is no breeze or wind which disturbs the flame, the disturbance-free flame, how it remains without flickering. Nivata Deepaha. Nivata Deepaha means Nivatastha Deepaha. The lamp which is kept in a place which is free from breeze or wind, thereby which is not disturbed. The flame remains without any flickering. In the same way, your mind remains absorbed in Brahma. Brahman alone is. Process of meditation is not there. The meditator also is not there. Vastu alone is there. The meditator is in consonance with Vastu. This is called Nirvikalpaka Samadhi. Samadhi Abhidiyate. I know there must be lots of doubts. I will talk to you, give you the answer next week, because in Sydney, all of you are yawning. And Radhaji showed me long ago the watch. And I took it. Because I was listening, it's like a story, isn't it? That's why I continued. Anyway, I don't want to take your time. See, I was really surprised to know this. The metabolic test, which is done after a process, really it helped people to have, because for you to become young, the object in front of you must become real. For which you should forget yourself. The problem is, without forgetting yourself, the object becomes real. There's no absorption. You know, samadhi. Understand? Then, there's a very gross world. Okay, I'll come to next class. Any doubts we have, please write and keep. I'll talk to you next week. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnah Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.